Chapter 1. Not Blonde. Today, my name is Eleanor Alejandra de Ritter. Mind the spelling, please, or my mother will assign you extra homework. She can, and she will, because she's the substitute teacher. A professional substitute teacher, as she keeps pointing out. I have no clue what that means, except it being a lie. Because the real thing we do is magic. Let me rephrase that. She does the magic. I just hang around and shoot things. And that pretty much sums it up. Though I'm the daughter of an undercover sorceress, magic isn't a friend of mine, so I sling lead instead of spells. The good news is that I've yet to meet the evil wizard who can duck a bullet bearing his name. Right now, though, the most evil thing in my life is boredom. I'm ready to shoot someone, something, anything, just to get us moving again. Instead, I rest my head against the cracked leather headrest, wishing desperately I was somewhere else. Another hellhole, Mom? I ask. A moment, Eleanor. Ellen, I say automatically. It's Ellen, Mom. Ellen. Not that it matters. Why she keeps using that awful name, I don't know. I introduce myself as Ellen, followed by whatever is the surname of the day. We do that sometimes, changing our names when necessary, but I'm always an Eleanor. Mom just never seems to get the Ellen part right. She takes another look at the faded road sign, predating the Civil War by a century or two, only to return to her map and stare at it. As if the piece of paper is to blame for Mom's lack of navigation skills. She scribbled notes along the edge, added symbols, and drew lines like any good wizard would. Nothing I would ever understand. I'm notoriously bad at the stuff. But then again, I don't need magic to know where we are. We're right in the middle of nowhere, in between lost and forgotten and rapidly approaching never was. If you would make a map of my life, it would be a mostly empty sheet of paper with a zigzaggy line leading from one forgettable place to the next. It's all her fault, of course. Mom's a wizard, or a mage, or a witch, or whatever you want to call the profession. She travels from one town to the next, fixing problems. The world at large doesn't know about magic users and magical beings, and it's better that way. They can't fear what they don't know. Mom's hired by the few that do know. We investigate, mediate, and do the odd job. We deliver warnings and steal things, break curses and stab people, that kind of stuff. Sometimes we meet a monster, and then we may need to show it how to behave. I always like that part. Mom? No response, and I crunch my empty water bottle in frustration. She switched the radio off as she didn't want to be distracted. There's no mobile coverage, and I'm tired of the songs I downloaded to my phone. All that's left to do is sigh and watch our barren surroundings. Dry, tall grass plays witness to the dust eddies holding a competition near our battered truck. They pass the road sign and vie for freedom. The ghostly shape of an orange cat watches the eddies and pounces before they can escape. Then they all disappear, leaving me and my worries behind. I glance at my mother, happy to see she didn't spot Vago. She shouldn't. The big orange cat is just an imaginary friend, but Vago has been cutting it rather close lately, ever since I stopped taking the pills. It's hot out there. Mom slaps my hand as I reach for the controls of the air conditioner. Our old truck is long overdue for some serious maintenance, and the air conditioner has been acting up lately. Mom's not going to take any risks by letting me fiddle with it as if I might jinx whatever's still working. I bet she'd actually save some money on repairs by buying something newer, but she won't. She claims it's all part of keeping a low profile, and she may have a point there. Our old, mostly blue Ford is rather inconspicuous in the towns we pass through, where every farmer drives the same beat-up 4x4, and every farmer's son drives an even older one, if his dad's poor, or a shiny new last-year model, if his dad's rich, or a bicycle, if he's underage. I couldn't care less about cars and the boys that drive them. If they want to impress me, they can start by spelling my name right and making sure their air conditioners work properly. I release one of my best sighs, wondering how many I have left. Maybe I should put myself on rations, but there are so many good reasons to sigh. Parents, homework, the vagaries of life, and the absence of dear friends. Are you okay, honey? Mom asks, looking up. I nod, selling her another lie. She studies me for a moment before she shrugs and returns to her map. We're on our way to yet another entry on my list of places I don't want to be, and I'm about to become the new girl again. Of course I'm not okay. The new girl, you know how that goes. I'm the outsider, the one without friends. The local crowd will be interested at first, looking at me as something new, something exotic, until they realize there's nothing special about me. I have the wrong accent, the odd taste in music, and I don't have any fashion sense to compensate. We share no history. We never fought over the same boyfriends, and we never shared that stolen cigarette. I'm not the girl who smacked Johnny's face in first grade and broke his front teeth. You would expect a girl with a thatch of purple hair to stand out, but that's not how it works. Even the color of my hair won't make much of a difference after a few weeks. I'm the wallflower hanging back, the one wearing the faded jeans and Jimi Hendrix t-shirt. I keep my distance from the cliques and circles and factions, act disgusted when encountering kissing couples, and admire the handsome boys and pretty girls when I'm sure nobody's paying attention to me. I hate homework. I love ice cream. I love pizza. I love to shoot my rifle when there's no one around. I can't be the only person who sees ghosts, has an orange tabby cat for an imaginary friend, and a mother who dabbles in magic. Perhaps that's why people ignore me. I'm too normal. Sweets disagrees. She keeps telling me I'm perfectly fine, that I'm actually kind of special. Maybe she's right. A year ago, I gave in to her nagging and stopped dyeing my hair black. After all, royal purple, as Sweets tends to call it, is my natural color. Periwinkle, lavender, plum, mauve. Call it whatever you like, but it's all me. It felt liberating. Adding a wild bob cut made me look a few years older, which is great for getting into bars and trouble. That Mom hates it is just another bonus. Sweets is my best friend and may be the only real friend I have left. I tried to make new ones, but they keep forgetting me. Try WhatsApp, Messenger, WeChat, or whatever the next fad. Send the old-fashioned email and make that damned phone call. Smoke signals, jungle drums, or post a handwritten letter and place your trust in the U.S. Postal Service to deliver it. Eventually. I know it's hard to keep in touch with my name and address and phone number changing all the time, but it's not impossible, I think. Not that I could make it work. My mug disappears from the yearbook. My name disappears from their social media. Maybe it's Mom's magic or my charming personality, but those new friends all forget about me after a while. By now, I've learned not to care too much. And maybe it's better this way. After all, it is a bad idea to make friends, even temporary ones. Mom and I face monsters, mostly of the two-legged variety, and innocent bystanders might get hurt. Over the years, I've learned that funerals are a lot harder when the ones you have to bury are the ones you love. Sometimes I wonder if hellos and goodbyes would be easier if I was the kind of charismatic, empty-headed, bubblegum-blowing cheerleader who doesn't give a damn. The type who's destined to be this year's prom queen and who treats all her friends as underlings. Being popular, brainless, and uncaring at that? Sign me up! It's a good thing that Sweets proves there are exceptions to the blonde bitchin' bimbo rule, being fair-haired cheerleader material herself. But I'm not like that. I'm no evil cheerleader, and I'm no Sweets. I'm just me. Olive-skinned, purple-haired me. I miss her. God, I miss her. Sweets lives down in Florida on the other side of the continent. We go there whenever we have the money, and Mom decides it is time to have me checked. I always looked forward to those visits, except for the part where they stick needles in me and ask lots of stupid questions, because Sweets and I get the chance to hang out. This time it's different, though. First, there's the hospital visit itself. My meds are bespoke and expensive, so it's unfair not to take them. Yet, that's what I did. Not that they ever worked. I just told the doctors I no longer saw cats and ghosts, and they stopped increasing the dose. Mom never checks and rarely asks, and when she does, I lie. I'll be grounded for eternity if she finds out I've been flushing my pills for months. Worse, though, is that Sweets might not be there. She'll be going to university this fall, while I'll still be stuck in some third-rate high school far away. Mom promised me we'll settle down next year to let me attend as well, assuming my grades and our money are good enough. That thought scares me even more. My life thus far has been all about traipsing around, following Mom wherever she goes. She works through her curriculum. We'll fight any monsters we encounter, and then we'll move on. But what if we're stuck in a single place? What if people don't like me, or ignore me, or I don't like them? And what if I can't make it and I'm simply stuck being the new girl? Forever. Mom finally puts her map down and smiles at me. Almost there, darling. I have no idea where almost there is, but I hate the place already.